Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago, so I know a lot more about grief than most of my peers. However, with the crisis of COVID-19 impacting all, many more teenagers are experiencing grief, some over loss of life and others over loss of life as we know it. As teens around the world feel this collective grief, my goal is to provide them with resources to cope and to express themselves. This is Teen Grief Coronavirus. Today I'm speaking with Olivia Salomon, who is a psychotherapist in private practice near Seattle, Washington, and has worked in the field of mental health for over 40 years. She works with children, teens, adults, and families. Ms. Salomon specializes in helping teens with depression, anxiety, trauma, grief and loss, relationship issues, and other challenges that teens face. She supports families to create loving bonds with each other, find effective communication strategies, and heal hurts that can come up in life. Ms. Salomon believes in our capacity to heal, grow, and find the resilience to create a healthy and balanced life. Ms. Salomon, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Lulu, thank you so much for having me.
My first question for you is, because of coronavirus, families are relying a lot more on each other's company. So what are some of the ways that you're seeing families shift?
You know, there's been a really dramatic shift with this sudden, like kind of overnight, suddenly we're all in social isolation, staying in our homes. Families are with each other all the time, all day long, all night long. And so there's some challenges have come up and some positives. I see kind of both. I think that we all benefit from having a little space from each other, kind of a balance of being together and being apart. And depending on a person's age, they might need more space. Teens, of course, need more space, right? More time to kind of be by themselves. Part of what I'm seeing is that families are, sometimes there's more tension in the family, more conflict, more irritability, moodiness, that kind of thing, because no one just gets a break, and there's no chance to go out and have a reset by having an activity or going somewhere. Parents are also in the role of teacher now with kids who are being schooled at home with online schooling. And sometimes that can be really challenging because sometimes parents may not be entirely comfortable with that role, or the teens don't really want their parents to be their teacher as well as their parent. So I've heard about a lot of arguing around school. Parents just like, what do I do if, you know, and wanting their kids to respect them as a teacher, but kids are kind of like, but you're not my teacher. So I think it's confusing. It's confusing to have this sudden change in the parents' role with their kids. If there were already some family dynamics that have been difficult, that families are already struggling with, sometimes they've gotten worse because of that, just that constant togetherness. And if there's any kind of extreme dysfunction or even abuse in the home, I think it's created a very concerning situation where people may be at more risk. And so more resources are needed from outside. On the positive, I think that it's been an opportunity for families just to also get closer to each other, more time together. There's been a lot of need to be creative about, well, what can we do since we're all at home? So cooking together, playing board games, working out in the yard, going on walks, really having a chance to work on relationships. And I'm hearing also that some people say they're feeling closer to each other. They've had a chance to just have more time to talk about things and work stuff out. So I think that there's been some kind of getting back to a more simple, wholesome lifestyle. People are just doing things they used to do more, you know, sitting around the table and talking or playing a board game or something like that. I think that that's actually a real positive, and it's been good for people.
Definitely. I know my sister and I have a relationship where we fight a lot, but we've been spending a lot more time together now as friends, which is really nice.
Good to hear.
Yeah. You mentioned that families need to balance time together and apart. How can you find a compromise when different members of the family want or need different things? And what are some ways in which you can find that balance?
Yeah, I think that, you know, everybody's home, of course, is going to be different. But if right now, I think it's even more important for teens to make sure their room is their sanctuary. And that, and if they share a room to take turns, you know, each person getting some time alone in their space. I think that it's a time to really learn about respecting differences. So if people have different ways they like to be, sometimes some people are more introverted and want to have more quiet time. Other people want to be out together all the time talking. So it's a chance to really, for families to really acknowledge, even have time to sit down and talk about it. Like, what is everybody's need right now? What do you need to feel better, you know, during this social isolation? And to make sure each person has a chance to be able to do that. And to find ways to bring activities into their life, even if it means ordering some stuff that they can have to do, that where they get to express their own individuality. And I think one idea that I really like is to have maybe once a week, everybody gets to share kind of what they've been doing or working on or reading or making as a way to kind of get to know each other and, again, respect those differences.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And if teenagers are unhappy with how things are going in their families, how can they express their feelings about their dynamic in a constructive way that doesn't involve yelling or excessive fighting?
Right. Yeah, it's really important to have conflict resolution skills. And everyone's always working on those, even adults. You know, it's like it's something that's an ongoing learning in life. It's important for teens to ask for time to be able to talk about something that's bothering them. Like just to really come right out to a parent and say, you know what, something's on my mind, I need to talk. And just to set some time aside that specifically for that, when things are hopefully calm and not too chaotic in the home, to sit down and talk and to share feelings. One great basic communication skill is to be able to say, like, you know, when you said whatever that person, you know, said, I felt, or when you did whatever the person did, this is how it made me feel. And so to really, rather than going into a blaming, like, oh, you, it's kind of like acknowledging that there was something in the home or something in the relationship that didn't feel good or this troubling them, and then go and then switch back to, and this is what I'm feeling about it, and this is what I'm needing. So, you know, you acknowledge the problem and then state, this is what I feel, this is what I need. And sometimes you might have to take some time to really think about that, you know, ahead of time, so that you can bring that to the conversation. And family meetings are also a great idea too. Like, you know, I like it when families can even once a week create a specific time where they sit down as a family and just talk. And you can pass around like a talking stick or a talking rock where the person holding it is the one that gets to talk and really share everything that's on their mind. And it's a chance then, and then the whole family can talk about some problems, some problem solving, some resolutions, so that things don't build up and build up. And so family meetings are a really good way to kind of release that pressure valve and make sure that everybody's staying current with what's on their mind. And that's both problems and also positives, things they're liking as well.
I think that releasing that pressure valve is really important, not just when dealing with our families, but generally right now. What are other ways besides meetings that we can work on letting go of some of the stress and angst that we're all feeling right now?
Yes, exactly. I think I think that's probably the most important need everybody has over and above everything else. There's just the kind of basics of, you know, getting good sleep and exercise and eating well and just, you know, taking care of yourself so that you're not getting too, you know, overwrought. But I think that for what's going on in the world right now, I think it's important for people, for teens to be able to talk to other teens and to talk about what they're feeling and what it's like to be in the world right now. Mm-hmm. Whether that's having, you know, video time through FaceTime or something like that, Zoom meetings or whatever, to talk, or texting, even using social media in a positive way to be able to see what's going on and communicate with other people of like mind, so that, and then talk with parents, sit down and, you know, and talk with family members too and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. And there's a lot of confusion too, I think, about the world and how kind of crazy it can feel right now. Mm-hmm. You know, why is it so bad, or what's happening? And so having a chance to kind of ask questions and make sure that the feelings and questions are being expressed not holding it all inside and going into a place of like inner darkness, because then, you know, things can just feel worse and worse.
And also when you're talking with your family or with your friends, it feels like the world around us right now, there's a lot of darkness and there's a lot of weight on everybody. How do you balance talking about that and trying to relieve some of your emotions or figure out the way you feel and making sure that you also don't think about it constantly and get a little bit of healthy distraction? What are ways in which you can find the balance there?
Yeah, I think that is really important. I really feel that people need to take a break every day from kind of dealing with stuff or focusing on the, like, there's so many problems right now. So I think it's important to have a list of fun activities and do something fun every day, at least one thing, if not more. Mm-hmm. Like taking a break even a couple of times from schoolwork or whatever else, social media, whatever else is happening. Go outside. I think nature is actually a great stabilizer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you live in a city, go to a park or, you know, in a safe way. If you live near a hiking trail or a walking trail or water, go be in a natural place. Really, and, you know, not take the phone necessarily, but like look around and take in the beauty that's around. Play with your pets, you know, watch something good on Netflix, you know, it's just like really just take a break. I know that my daughter and I, you know, every day we just find some little thing. We order a pizza and take it down somewhere outside and sit and eat it. Just something, and just find something to laugh about or joke about or tell a funny story. What was the best part of your day is one of the things we'll ask each other, and we talk about the good things that, you know, and it can be something even simple. It's like, oh, you know, when we made lunch together, you know, just something like that. Just remembering the good things and taking that mind off of, like you said, all the darkness that's in our world right now.
That's really helpful. Ms. Salomon, do you have any final thoughts about coronavirus and our situation as a whole, or important messages that you want to share with teenagers?
Yes, you know, I feel concerned for teens because I feel there's a lot of problems in our world. They're so big that it can lead to feeling despair about the world, mm-hmm. and like hopelessness. So like how to keep hope alive, I think is a really, it's really important to find ways to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think that engaging in life in ways that can make you feel like you can still contribute to make the world a better place just in your own corner where you live. So I feel that acts of kindness are actually really helpful. Doing something nice for someone else, whether it's somebody in your family or a neighbor, or in our area, kids have painted rocks with like little positive messages and placed them around town for people to find.
Oh, nice.
Or people, there's a clothesline in our neighborhood where people can like hang positive messages or flags or things like that. To remember that the world has always gone through times of darkness and things getting better. Like that's been kind of the pattern over the time. And we're in a time of darkness right now, but it will get better. And we can each do things to make life better for ourselves, our families, and our communities. And if you sit and think about it, there's at least five things you could come up with you could do each day that would just make you feel like there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it's really important.
Definitely. Ms. Salomon, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief Coronavirus.